been involved in. Those are available as you leave this morning at each door on the little table beside the offering baskets. It's the missionary work of the Free Presbyterian Church. We commend it to you. Do lift those leaflets. Read all about what's happening and indeed the blessing of God upon that. And another little book that Mr. McMillan has brought with us, The Wayside Pulpit. And these are messages that he has written that appeared in the newsletter. That's right. In the newsletter. Just 31 little sermons day by day. We commend that little book to you. £3. And the work of that, or the money that's lifted for that, will go to the Free Presbyterian Church Mission Board for organising pastors getting together on the mission field. So do remember that. They're also should be at the door, but if they're not, see our brother Mervyn Steenson and you can see him for that. Tomorrow, the little sunbeams and toddlers, the parents and toddlers group, 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. in the church hall, those that are involved in that, if you could remember that. And then tomorrow evening at 8 p.m., also in the church hall, the Awana Bible Club for years 1 to 10. That's running from 6:45 to 8 p.m. Do you remember that? And do bring it to the Lord in prayer. On Tuesday evening, the Bible study and prayer meeting in the church hall at 8 o'clock. And the Reverend Smiley will be continuing his Bible study on inviting people to Christ. Do come. We encourage you to attend the prayer meeting, to come and meet with God's people around the Word and around the throne of grace. On Friday night, elders, the presbytery meeting is on Zoom at 8 p.m. and the same link that you've had for previous meetings applies also to this meeting. Saturday evening, the youth reach, 7:30 in the church hall. All youth are welcome, and the speaker this week is Mr. Kyle Boyd. Very quickly, next Lord's Day services, 10 a.m. the Sunday school, 11:30 a.m. the family worship, 7 p.m. the gospel service, preceded by the prayer time. Next Lord's Day marks the minister's 17th anniversary in Ballygowan, and he will be along to minister at both services. The soloist at the evening service is our sister Natasha Atchison. So do remember that. And the building fund will be taken up at both services next Lord's Day. The LTBS calendars, £3.50. And the book of Bible readings, daily Bible readings, in memory of Dr. Kearns at £15. And then the little book on the life and ministry of the Reverend Hugh Hanna, otherwise known as Roaring Hanna, at £7.95. Those are available. There's a list in the porch, or if you see our brother Mervyn Steenson regarding those publications. But do remember as well, just in closing, all of those who are sick in our own congregation. Their names are familiar to us. Some have been ill a long time, some have going through treatment, others recovering from hospital operations. We do commit and commend them to you at this time. Do remember them, pray for them, that they know the Lord's touch upon them, and that raising up again to wanted health and strength. Those are all the announcements. I'm going to hand the rest of the meeting over to the Reverend McMillan. Again, we do welcome him in the Saviour's name. We trust that he'll feel at home in the pulpit, that we know the blessing of God through his ministry today. Thank you very much, brother. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Very nice to be with you in Ballygowan. We appreciate the kind words of welcome, and we pray that we'll know the Lord's presence with us and his blessing upon the services today. We're going to commence our worship as we sing together the words of the second paraphrase. O God of Bethel, by whose hand thy people still are fed, who through this weary pilgrimage hast all our fathers led. So we'll sing the words of this paraphrase. Think especially of those words in the second line, thy people still are fed. We're thinking today of the Lord's provision, how he provides for us faithfully day by day. So keep that in mind just as we sing these words together. Remaining seated as we sing, please. Just stand together, please, as we seek the Lord's face in prayer. We'll just stand our hearts before the Lord. Our Father, we do seek thee in the attitude of prayer, thankful that we can approach unto thee. Want to pray, Father, from the very commencement of the service this morning, we'll be conscious of the Lord's presence with us. We pray that you'll come and be in our midst. We come, Father, to thee today with thankful hearts. We think of the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Remember the hymn writer said, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you at what the Lord has done. So we do, Father, lift our hearts in thanksgiving. We look back upon this week. We're conscious that you have supplied for us all that we have required. You've given us every day our daily bread. We can say even with old Jacob that you're the God who has fed us all the days of our life until this day. We thank you, Father, most of all for your love for us. We praise thee for thy salvation. We thank you we can rejoice today in sins forgiven. We praise thee for each one in this service that has a testimony to God's saving grace. We want to say to thee, thank thee, Lord, for saving my soul, and thank you, Lord, for making me whole. We come, Father, just to commit this meeting into your hands. We're conscious that we need the help of God. We want to pray that you'll be with us today. We remember those that went to Emmaus. The scriptures tell us that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. So we're asking, Father, draw near to us, even from the very outset of the meeting. You've promised that you'll be our guide, even unto death. And Lord, we ask you to guide us through the service today, guide in all that takes place, guide us especially in every word that is spoken. The scriptures tell us how forcible are right words. So we're praying, Father, that you'll give to us the right words as we declare the truth of God, the message of the Lord, even in this house today. I want to pray, Father, that you'll speak to our hearts. What a difference that would make. What a blessing that would be. We're praying, Father, that you'll speak to all that are gathered in thy house today. We remember the prayer of Samuel. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Lord, come and speak to us. We ask of thee, speak clearly, speak powerfully, open the scriptures to us. And especially, Father, we're praying for any in this meeting that know not Christ, that you might speak to their hearts especially, and bring them this day even to the Saviour. May you put a seal upon these meetings. May you put a seal upon the preaching of your word today. You've assured us that it pleaseth thee by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And Lord, you've told us that we have not because we ask not. So want to ask earnestly, want to ask unitedly, Father, that you'll come down in salvation blessing upon thy house today. Remember, the scriptures tell us of the home of Zacchaeus, this day is salvation come to this house. Lord, may that be true of this church building. May you come amongst us today in salvation. I want to pray for the blessing of God to be upon this witness and upon this testimony. We think of the announcements that have been made, all the meetings that are planned for this incoming week in your will. But remember that the Saviour said to us that without me you can do nothing. And Lord, we need thee to be with us. And we want to pray that in every meeting through this week, in every activity, the presence of the Lord will be known and the blessing of God will be felt and will be experienced. Lord, we're asking you just to pour out your blessing mightily upon this congregation and upon the witness of the gospel here. Remember this town and district. Lord, come in revival blessing. Come, Father, and stir up hearts, even by your Spirit. We think of the deadness and the lethargy, even of the days in which we live. And remember the hymn writer said, where is our hope of survival, save in thy life-giving breath? So we ask thee, Father, to hear our cries, and abide with us, and come now and put your hand upon us, each one, and upon this service. We ask that it will know the touch of God, and we pray that we will know the touch of God upon our hearts and lives too. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read a few verses together. We encourage you to turn in the scriptures. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read together from the 10th verse, the final chapter of the book of Philippians. Philippians 4 verse 10. And we're going to read together just down to the end of the chapter. Let's hear the word of the Lord to our hearts. Philippians 4 verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. When you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere, and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And we do know the Lord will follow with his blessing this the public reading of his word. We're glad to see the children, the young people that are present with us in the service this morning. It's always good to have the boys and girls in the Lord's house. I want to thank you for coming, and we're very glad of your presence. Just for a few minutes, we're going to speak to the boys and girls. I brought along a little piece of blue ribbon. Sometimes you'd see girls with a little bit of ribbon in their hair, especially if they're tying their hair back in a ponytail or something of that nature. There is a story in the Old Testament. It's found in the book of Numbers, and it's a story about blue ribbon. And I'd just like to highlight that to you and maybe draw a little lesson, especially a little lesson in the gospel. The story was to do with the children of Israel. It was one of the instructions that the Lord gave to them. They were to have a fringe on the border of their garments, and on that fringe they were to put a blue ribbon. So if you think of the cuff of your jacket, and you think of the garments that they would have worn round the bottom of that garment, down at the bottom where the fringe would be, there was to be a piece of blue ribbon. So their garments would have been very distinctive. It would have been one way of identifying a Jew or an Israelite away back in those days. And the idea for putting the piece of blue ribbon on their garments was to remind them of the law of God. Remember that the colours in the Bible, the study of the colours is very interesting. The study of biblical colours is very, very significant. The colour blue in the Bible, it is the colour of the heavens, but it is also used of the word of God, especially the law of God. And that's the idea. The story that I'm telling you, so that you can look it up later, it's in Numbers chapter 15, right at the very end of the chapter. There's a few verses there. So keep that in mind. We sometimes talk about Presbyterian blue. Blue is the colour that's identified with Presbyterianism. Well, in the Bible, blue is the colour that reminds us of the heavens, but it also reminds us of God's word, especially the law. And remember, boys and girls, the Ten Commandments, the moral law. So one way to remember that's your fingers and your thumbs. There's 10 commandments. There's one part of the commandments that remind us of our duty to God, and then there's the other part that reminds us of our duty towards our fellow man. So you keep in mind those 10 commandments, and every time you see the colour blue, God wants us, it's a lesson from his word, he wants us to remember his law, the law that he has given to us. And remember, we're not just to be hearers of God's word. God wants us to be doers as well. So I want to encourage you, boys and girls, as you're growing up, always remember the 10 commandments that God has given to us and his word. They're very important, and they're a room for us to live by. God wants us to keep those commandments in mind every day we live for him here upon this earth. And I want to emphasize this. If you remember God's commandments, and if you do God's commandments, God will bless you. Because the psalmist said, in the keeping of them there is great reward. So that's a great promise. That's a very encouraging promise in the Bible. If you do God's word, if you obey his voice, if you keep his commandments, there's great reward. God will pour out his blessing upon you. But there's another thing I want to emphasize to you. It's a word of warning. It's important to do God's commandments. But remember, boys and girls, you can't get into heaven by keeping God's commandments. And you know the reason why that is? Because there's none of us, doesn't matter who we are, there's none of us that can keep God's commandments perfectly. There was only one person that ever kept God's commands perfectly, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, he was the sinless Son of God. And he kept God's commandments for us when he was here on earth. And in doing that, he provided for us the righteousness that we need to be accepted before God. He's the only person that ever kept God's law perfectly. So you can't get into heaven by keeping God's commandments. I want to warn you that some people think that if they do good, do the best they can, and it's important and right to do good to others. But I want to emphasize, boys and girls, that the Apostle Paul said, writing to the Romans, in the book of Romans, he said that by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. You can't get into heaven by keeping the law of God. There's only one way to heaven, and that's by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. And I want to encourage you to do that today. That would make such a difference. You hear the gospel at home, your parents teach you the word of God, and you hear the gospel at Sunday school and at children's meeting, and those are great blessings. I want to encourage you to listen carefully to all that you're told when the word of God has been taught. But I want to encourage you, if you've never done it, you come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Come and put your trust in him today. So keep in mind the colour blue, the significance. You ever see the colour blue, anytime you see it, remember God's commandments. And remember, God wants you to obey his commandments, to do those commandments. But remember, you can't get into heaven. There's nobody that is able to keep the commandments perfectly. So you can't get into heaven that way. You need to trust the one who alone kept all of those commandments for us. So pray that will be a blessing to your hearts today. We're going to sing together another hymn before we come to God's word, to the message. It's the hymn 50 in our book. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Again, keeping our seats as we sing, please. just stand for a few moments, please. We'll seek the Lord for his blessing upon the message today. We encourage you to pray as well. We need the prayers of the Lord's people, and ask the Lord to speak and minister to your heart from his word, from the message that will go forth. Father, we do acknowledge the greatness of your faithfulness to us. Even as we look back upon this last week, we can all testify to the good hand of our God that has been upon us. We can say that he faileth not. And Lord, as you have been faithful to us, our cry is that you'll give us grace and help, that we might be faithful to thee day by day and in all that we do. Thank you especially for the faithfulness of your provision for us. We can say, Father, that we have lacked no good thing. Even in the words that we've sung, all of our needs your hand has provided. And we want to acknowledge that, Father. We want to give thee praise for it. We can say that every good and every perfect gift has come down to us from above. We just ask, Father, come and be with us now. Set our hearts. Prepare us for the word of God. We ask thee to minister to every heart. Come and open the scriptures to us. And we pray that the power of God will come down upon the gathering. We want to ask, Father, we will know today the aid and the unction and the utterance of the Holy Ghost to minister thy word. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning to Philippians chapter 4, please. And the 19th verse, we'd like to take it as our text this morning. Philippians 4, verse 19. Philippians chapter 4, the 19th verse. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The theme of the message this morning is a promise of provision. And that, brethren and sisters, is what we have here before us in this text of God's word. Whenever Mr. Spurgeon opened his famous orphanage at Stockwell in London, he got the stonemasons to put this text upon the pillars of the door. Whenever he thought of the great needs of the orphanage, running it day by day, when he thought of the great needs of all of those children, he was encouraged by this great promise of the Lord's provision. If you think of the days in which we live, days when prices are increasing, the markets are uncertain, so many businesses, firms that are going bankrupt, closing down, there seems to be a lot of uncertainty as we look into the future, a lot of financial insecurity. Maybe you're afraid today. You're afraid for the future of your family. Maybe you're afraid for the future of your children, your own livelihood, afraid for the future of the work of God. You're asking all sorts of questions. How will we live? How will we get by? How will we be able to pay the bills? How will we be able to keep going? Well, here, brethren and sisters, is a promise from God's word to encourage you in the days in which we live. Here's a promise to encourage your heart for the way ahead. A promise of God's provision for us. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So I want us for a few minutes to think of the provision that the Lord assures us of and promises us of here in this text of Scripture. I want to emphasize, first of all, the source of the provision. He says, my God. Notice that Paul begins with the Lord. And that's vital, brethren and sisters. He sets us here a good example. What he's saying to us is, when times are hard, when the days are uncertain, what you need to do is look to the Lord. The apostle's saying, don't look to me, don't look to the church, don't look to the government. Now, the Lord can use men. The Lord can use institutions, and he will. But remember that ultimately, He's the one that provides for us. So what we need to do is to get our eyes on the Lord. And I want to encourage you to do that today, brethren and sisters. Remember, there are many things that we can do without in life. And there are many things that we can do without in God's work. Things even that the world imagines are essential. But let me emphasize this. We can never do without Him. And we can never do without the Lord. And as you think of the Lord today, as you lift your heart and your focus to Him, remember that He's a powerful God. The text says, "My God shall supply all your need." So just think about God for a moment. And remember that He's the Almighty. There's nothing that is too hard for the Lord. The Bible describes Him in the book of the Revelation as the Lord God omnipotent. That word omnipotent is the idea that there's no limits, absolutely no limits to the power of our God. Do you remember what He said in the book of Ephesians, that He's able to do exceeding abundantly? Just think of the ability of God, His power. What God is able to do, exceeding abundantly. I want you to consider the strength of the words there, the build-up. Exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. Think of your greatest request. Think even of your greatest dream above all that we could ask or even think. And as you think of God's power, remember He can do miracles. He's a miracle-working God. He fed the 5,000. And He fed the 5,000 with just 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread. Do you remember that He fed Elijah with the ravens by the brook Kereth? The ravens brought Him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh again in the evening. That was the first record of a home delivery service that ever took place. The ravens came faithfully, morning and evening. So He's a powerful God. And remember, He's still the same. He will do the same for you. He will display that same power in supplying your needs in the days that lie ahead. But He's not just a powerful God. The text also says that He's a providing God. The text says, "My God shall supply all your need." Remember, God is a giver. God is our supplier. Paul said when he was preaching on Mars Hill that He gives to all life and breath and all things freely to enjoy. Just consider how comprehensive that is. He gives you life. He gives you breath, every breath that you breathe. And He gives us all things. All that we have as we sign, His hand has provided. One of the great Jehovah titles of the scripture, He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the Lord that sees. He sees your circumstances. He sees your needs. And He's the Lord that provides. And the Lord can provide in ways that you never think of. Think again of Elijah. After he left Kereth, he went to Zarephath, and he was provided there in the home of a widow woman. She had just enough in the house, in the cupboard, to make the final meal for herself and for her son. And yet that was the place that God sent Elijah to, where his provisions, his needs, would be met. God provides for us in places and in ways that we never think of. There's a lovely story about David Brainerd, the missionary to the Red Indians of North America. He was away out in a country area, far from any town, on one occasion, looking for the Red Indians to preach the gospel. A very severe storm came upon him. The only place that he could find shelter, there was a large tree that had been, the trunk of it had been hollowed out. So he took shelter there. The storm continued for about 3 days. And while he was in that log, he prayed. Prayed for his missionary work, prayed for the preaching of the gospel, but he also prayed for the Lord's provision for food. And what happened was, this little squirrel came, just like the ravens at the brook. The squirrel came and sat at the end of that hollowed log, and it chattered for a little while. But whenever the squirrel went away, David Brainerd noticed that it left a little pile of nuts behind. And every day that he was there, taking shelter from that storm, that little squirrel came and brought the nuts for him. The Lord provides in ways that we never think are possible. He's a miracle working God, brethren and sisters. One of the lessons we need to learn, need to continually learn as the Lord's people, is the greatness of our God and the greatness of his power. That's a vital lesson. Never forget that God is greater than all of our needs. I don't doubt today that your needs are great, that they are extreme. But it's good to see, to understand, our God is greater still. So there's the source of the provision. Think as well of the sureness of the provision. The text says, my God shall supply. I want you to see, brethren and sisters, there's no uncertainty here. There's no doubt. There's not a question about this provision. There may be uncertainty, and the reality is there's a lot of uncertainty as we look into the future. There may be uncertainty in the financial markets, in the price of food, the economy, a lot of uncertainty in the political situation, a lot of uncertainty in your life, your job, your circumstances, maybe your business, a lot of uncertainty even in the life of the church, the future as a whole. So much uncertainty. But remember, there is no uncertainty with God. No uncertainty in God's provision. And no uncertainty in God's promise. The promise is sure, brethren and sisters. The promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. That is, you can trust them. You can depend upon them. You can rest your all upon the promise of God. It's not that he might supply your every need. It's not that he'll do his best. It's not a reply we often give. Somebody asks us for help, asks us to do something. I'll do my best. Well, that's not the answer that God gives. It's not that he will try. He says he shall supply our every need. He will provide the needs of his people. It's sure, brethren and sisters. You know where the only uncertainty is? It's in our hearts. It's our faith that wavers. James said, speaking about our request for wisdom, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. But the reality is we do waver. We do doubt. We are full of unbelief. We're like that man in the scriptures, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. We all have that battle. We all have that struggle growing on in our hearts. And what we need to do is pray for the Lord to increase our faith. The Saviour directed his disciples to make that prayer. And especially pray the Lord will increase our faith in the promises of the scriptures and the promises of his word. The sureness of the provision. Notice as well, we're told here about the subjects of the provision. The text teaches, my God shall supply all your need. Think of the word your there. Think of the question, who is Paul speaking to here? Who is this provision for that is being promised? What I want to make clear to you, brethren and sisters, is it's not for everyone. And it's not for every Christian. It's wrong to think that every Christian can claim this promise, because they can't. Maybe that's something you never thought about, never realized before. What I want to stress, what I'd like you to see, is this is a promise for the giver. This is a promise for those who give to God's work, those who give faithfully and generously. That's the context in which the promise is given here. If you look at verse 16, just a little back up the chapter, a few verses back. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. So who is Paul speaking to here? He's speaking to those who were liberal givers, those who were his faithful financial supporters. They had repeatedly given, in fact we could say they had sacrificially given to help and to support Paul in all of his labours. So I want to make it clear, brethren and sisters, this is a promise for the giver. What he's saying to these Philippians is, as you have supplied my needs by your generosity, in return for that, the blessing that you will experience is God will supply your needs. You see, it's the law of the harvest. You reap what you sow. The New Testament says give, and what will happen if you give? It shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and so on, shall men give into your bosoms. It's the law of the harvest. So the reality is, if you don't pay your tithe, if you don't support God's work, don't support the church financially, if you don't support God's servants, then you can't claim this promise that is found here in Philippians 4:19. The subjects of the provision. In the fourth place, I want to emphasise the scope of the provision. He says, all your need. Now just think of that. Just take that in. There's the breadth of the promise. All your need. J. Wilbur Chapman was a famous American preacher, pastored a number of Presbyterian churches there. He was also used internationally as an evangelist. In fact, he learned his evangelism as an apprentice under the great D.L. Moody. In one of the churches that he pastored, at that time he experienced a time of great sorrow for him personally and his family. As a result of that, the church decided that he needed a few weeks break, a rest. So he made plans to journey out west to visit with some family and friends. Before he set off, one of the elders of the church, who was a banker, came to visit with him. They spent a little time in fellowship. The elder got up to go. They were standing together at the door. Just before he went out the door, he slipped a bit of paper into Mr. Chapman's hand. Whenever Mr. Chapman opened the bit of paper, he saw it was a cheque. Cheque made out in his name, but the amount was blank. He looked at the elder, the banker, in amazement, and he said to him, do you mean to tell me you're giving me a blank cheque made out in my name? The banker said, yes. We didn't know how much you might need on your travels, and we wanted you to be able to draw down any amount that would cover all of your expenses, all of your needs in the journey that you're taking at this time. So imagine that. Imagine being given a blank cheque. You know, the very interesting thing about that story is that even though J. Wilbur Chapman was given and took the cheque, he never used it in the trip that he took at that time. But I want you to think of this. Been given a blank cheque. And that, men and women, is what God gives to us here in this promise. He says, all your need. There's absolutely no limit that is placed upon the promise of God. The words literally mean, he will fill to the full all of your need. You think of the widow in the Old Testament, the widow of one of the prophets. She was in great debt. And you remember that the oil filled every vessel. Well, that's the idea behind this promise. It will be the same for us. God's provision will meet, or God's provision will fill every need that we have. It will meet your financial needs. Think of those day-to-day needs, the food, the clothing, the fuel, the energy, all the expenses of life. It will meet your financial needs. You know, the strange thing, the sad thing as Christians, often that's all we think about when we think about the provision of God. I want you to know, brethren and sisters, there's much more here. Sometimes we don't go any further than that ourselves. There's much more here than just the financial, the temporal needs. You think of the spiritual needs that we have day by day. We need grace to live for God in this wicked age. We need the continual cleansing of the Saviour's blood. We need guidance for all the decisions of life. We need to be taught of God from His Word. We need the peace of God on our hearts amidst all the trials and the uncertainty of life. We need the blessing of God upon our lives, our homes, our families, the Church of Jesus Christ. All the spiritual needs. Well, that's included in the promise too. Think of your physical needs. Some are weak, some are sick. Our brother emphasized that at the beginning in the announcements. Those connected with your families, the congregation here, infirmities and pain, they need strength. They need the healing touch of God. Well, that's included in the promise as well. Think of the emotional needs. There are those who are sad, those that grieve with the loss of a dear one, those that have been bereaved, those that hurt, those that are depressed and that are cast down, they need to be comforted, need to be lifted up again. Well, those emotional needs, they're included in the promise as well. You think of what we could describe as mental needs. We lack wisdom. We need understanding. We need to be like the men of Issachar, men with an understanding of the times, knowing what Israel ought to do. We need the Lord to give us light from heaven. So here, brethren and sisters, is something of the scope of the promise, the scope of God's provision. It's all your need. Not some, not most, not the easiest, not just the smallest. He says he will supply all your need. Can I point out something very important? He says your needs. Just take that to heart. It's not your grades. And there's a big difference between the two. If you look at that 16th verse again, the apostle said, even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, the things that are necessary for us to live here on earth day by day. You know, if we're honest, some of the things we ask the Lord to provide for us, they're not needs at all. We need to see that, recognize that. Sometimes the things we ask the Lord for are only the desires of a greedy and a covetous heart. So the scope of the provision. Think of the final place he tells us here about the size of the provision. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, we need to dwell on those words. The Bible exhorts us to ponder and to meditate upon the scriptures. So I ask you to ponder those words very carefully. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Mr. Spurgeon, when he was preaching on this text, said, the preacher may sit down now because we cannot compass this part of the text. God's riches in glory. That, brethren and sisters, is something that's beyond us, beyond our thought. It's beyond our comprehension. The Spanish ambassador once said to the French ambassador, my master's treasure house has no bottom. What he was referring to there was the vast wealth of the Mexican mines. Well, really, that's the message here of Paul in this text. Our master's treasure house has no bottom, the size of it. There is a limit, men and women, there is an end to what you can give. We're all only too keenly aware of that fact. There's a limit and an end even to what the government can give. And that has been revealed to us through this crisis. You think of things like the furlough scheme. There's a limit even to what the government can give. But remember, there is no limit to what our God can give. And I'd like you to take that in. Paul said to the Ephesians, he spoke about unsearchable riches. And that's true of God's provision spiritually. But it's also true of God's provision for us physically. It's unsearchable, brethren and sisters. Can't be found out. Can't be quantified. You think of what the psalmist said. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You think of the fullness of the earth's resources. The fullness of the earth's wealth. It doesn't belong to the billionaires of this world. It's his. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The psalmist said, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Mr. Ironside, the Bible teacher in America, he liked to tell the story of a Bible college that was in great need on one occasion and needed financial support. And what they did, the wise thing, they called a prayer meeting. And they asked the Lord to bless them and to provide for them what they needed at that time. During that prayer meeting, one of the brethren, as he was lifting his heart to the Lord, he quoted that verse, Lord, you own the cattle on a thousand hills. He said, Lord, just sell a few of your cattle and meet our need. They didn't realise that there was a rancher in town that day, a Christian rancher, and he was selling a few of his cattle. And he laid that Bible college, the Lord laid that Bible college upon that dear rancher's heart. Whenever he got paid for his cattle and he thought of where he would tithe his money, went along to the Bible college and gave a gift that met their need at that time. So there's no limit, brethren and sisters, to what our God can give. Here's the size of God's riches, the size of God's provision. So I want to assure you, encourage you this morning, you can face tomorrow, and you can face this week, and you can face the future. Whatever it holds, whatever it brings, however great the need may be, because God's provision for you will never end. God's provision for you will never be exhausted. I'll finish just with this. Mr. Moody, there's a little book that you can buy, Notes from the Bible of D.L. Moody. He wrote notes in the margin of his Bible as he studied the scriptures day by day, and after his death, somebody typed up all of those notes and they put them in the publication. Well, beside Philippians 4:19, he developed the idea of this promise being a blank check. And this is how he sets it out. The firm, my God. So many firms going bankrupt. Well, here's a firm that will never be bust. A firm that will never go bankrupt. My God. The promise shall supply. The amount, when you get a check, you always like to take a wee look at the amount, don't you? Well, the amount is all your need. The capital, it's no good writing a check if you don't have money in the bank. You need a wee bit of a balance that will cover the amount. So the capital is his riches. And then the address, you need to know where to go if you have a wee bit of trouble. You need to know where the bank is. Well, the address of the bank is in glory. And then the signature, doesn't matter how much is written on the check, if there's no signature, the check won't be honoured, the check won't be cashed. Well, this check, brethren and sisters, has the most blessed and sweetest of all signatures attached to it. The signature is Christ Jesus, according to his riches and glory, right there at the end, by Christ Jesus. So here, men and women, is a blank check. And it's a blank check for you today to take away from the meeting. And all that's left for you to do is this: by faith to claim it and endorse it. I'm old enough to remember the days that if somebody gave you a check, you could sign your name on the back of it and take it into the shop or into the garage, and they would give you in return for that check the amount that was written on it. Well, that's all you need to do today. Write your name on the check. Write your name on the promise. Claim the check, brethren and sisters. Claim the promise of provision that the Lord gives to you in his word. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless his word to all our hearts today. We're going to sing our closing hymn. It's the hymn 46. Remember the communion after. We want to encourage you to wait. We encourage as many as possible of the Lord's people to wait behind. Remember, you just stay where you are in the church. Remain in the same seat. If you do have to leave, take the opportunity to do that as we're singing the words of this hymn together. I'll not go down to the door this time. I'll go down after the communion is finished and be able to greet those that are leaving at that time. Think of the words of this hymn in keeping with our message. Though troubles assail and dangers affright, though friends should all fail and foes all unite, yet one thing secures us, whatever betide, the scripture assures us, the Lord will provide. So sing these verses, remaining seated as we close the service today. Thank you.